Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Travel anywhere in the U.S. where oil and gas is pumped from the ground, and you can find old wells belching planet-warming gases into the atmosphere. That includes Louisiana's Gulf Coast. Here Now's Chris Bentley was there last year meeting with people trying to plug those wells. Some were so decrepit, he could hear them leaking.
There should be a gauge on that.
There should be a gauge on that.
Yeah.
That's an open valve, man.
This is supposed to be closed.
I would think so. It's the same story in Texas, in Pennsylvania, and in a dozen or so other states. The government knows there's a problem with these abandoned wells, but if you add up all the state and federal money they've set aside to fix it, it covers just 2% of the total cost. That is according to a new analysis by ProPublica, and reporter Mark Olalde is here now to talk to us about it. Mark, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So when our producer Chris went out to Louisiana to see these wells firsthand, I know we were shocked to hear these things sending plumes of gas into the atmosphere all day long. Just remind us how big of a problem this is.
It's a huge problem. So the biggest climate warming gas coming from these wells is methane, which in the short term has about 85 times the warming impact of carbon dioxide, which is the normal kind of greenhouse gas we think about every day. And kind of to make a big problem even bigger, it's not just climate change. It's public health concerns from hydrogen sulfide leaking. It's redevelopment concerns from these things being under homes and apartment buildings in certain cities. And it's, you know, concerns for farmers with these things spewing oil and kind of briny wastewater into farmland.
How many leaky wells are we talking about?
So no one really knows is part of the problem. Some of a lot of the data in this space is kind of jumbled and historical and piecemeal. And so my team, where I worked with Nick Bolin from Capital in Maine and some petroleum reservoir engineers, our estimates are that there are more than 2 million unplugged wells around the country that have the potential to be leaking. And there could be hundreds of thousands, if not a few million more, that are orphaned and unidentified or not yet located.
And people may be picturing oil derricks in remote West Texas, but these are wells that can also just look like pipes that are sticking out of the ground in people's backyards. There are abandoned wells in the city of Los Angeles. They're in suburbs. I mean, what did you see when you went out and looked at some of these wells in New Mexico, for instance?
Absolutely. Sometimes it's obvious, right? Sometimes you're in the middle of an oil field there where the vegetation has been stripped and it's dirt and roads and pipelines and kind of the traditional pump jacks that people think about, you know, but oftentimes you've got a dot on a map that was put there 50 years ago and, you know, isn't geolocated, and you need to figure out there's a well somewhere around here. Where exactly is it? And it may be, you know, a few feet below the surface. It may be, it has been partially plugged years ago, you know, with garbage or cannonballs was a favorite for a time or things like that. So oftentimes it can be difficult to properly locate and, you know, really know what happened to some of these wells.
Literally cannonballs? They would plug the wells with cannonballs?
Literally cannonballs. I've heard literally drill bits. I've heard pieces of palm trees. I've heard all sorts of stuff.
Shocked to hear that didn't work. Now, methane, invisible to the naked eye, of course, but there's this video attached to your article that shows an infrared image of one well. And with the camera, you can just see this gas pouring out. It looks like a black plume coming out of the pipe. The law says that companies have to plug these up and clean them up. So why could you see what you saw?
So the problem is what the law says and what reality says are two different things. And what we really wrote about in our stories, we stepped back and just asked that question that you just asked. You know, how can this industry that made billions and billions and billions of dollars, you know, how can their wells that produced that oil and gas that was worth all that money end up this way, end up the taxpayers' problem, end up unplugged, leaking methane, that sort of thing? And the answer is, you know, regulatory failures at every step of the process. Regulators that aren't looking at the transfers closely enough, and a well is given from one company to a smaller company to a smaller company. These bonds that we're writing about that aren't enough to make sure that the cost is covered to actually clean up these wells. You know, the U.S. bankruptcy code that really exists as kind of an escape hatch for companies to run to bankruptcy protection and then say, hey, we no longer can deal with our liabilities. You know, someone else has to deal with them now. So there's really this long kind of failure in the system. And it's kind of so evident that people who study this call it the playbook, because different oil companies can kind of copy and paste. And the end result is very similar with wells being orphaned to states.
Let's back up on these bonds that you mentioned. I understand drillers have to either clean up or put money into a bond to pay for it. But your reporting says there's not nearly enough money set aside to fix the problem. So why not? And how big is the gap?
The gap is just in the 15 states we looked at that are the largest producers. They produce about 99% of the oil and gas in the country. The gap is about $150 billion. And that's only for upstream infrastructure. So that's only for the cost to clean up wells and things like that that are actually producing oil and gas. You know, it's a long history of states not wanting to be too aggressive in regulating and legislators not wanting to be too aggressive in passing laws saying, you know, hey, this cost has to stay with the industry. And so for years, the bonds have been an issue that have been largely kind of ignored or only tinkered with a little bit. And really, they're kind of like a security deposit on an apartment that you're renting. Mm. And our research found that they cover about 2% of the cost. And so if that's all the security deposit you put aside, you know, you better believe I'm going to throw a huge party in this apartment and trash it and say, yeah, you can keep that money.
Well, and lawmakers accepted that. Why would the state be okay with that?
You know, what we keep hearing is that it's a few bad actors. You know, it's a few bad actors here and there. Every industry has them. And certainly some companies are better than others. Some oil companies have fewer leaks and fewer spills and more employees per well or that sort of thing. But it's really a problem that persists across the industry. And in a place like New Mexico, where we told this story, the industry has become so important to funding kind of the state budget through royalties and fees and things like that, right, that it actually has been given a nickname. It's called the Golden Goose in New Mexico. And so there's really this fear that if you go after the oil industry or if you make them pay for their own mess, well, then you're going to lose out on taxes, on royalties, and on whatever else it might be.
Yeah. You don't kill the golden goose, as the story goes, right? So there is some money, I understand, from the Biden administration. And in December, the EPA came out with a new rule that would curb methane emissions, including from old wells. There's also a new fee on methane emissions that takes effect this year. What kind of difference could that make? I mean, it's a huge gap, but could it help?
You know, all of these different things definitely help. But to put it in perspective, the Biden administration's money was $4.7 billion. Our estimates, using states' own data, is the cost just for wells is $151 billion. And that doesn't include, like I said, the hundreds of thousands of additional orphan wells that state agencies are still actively looking for and cataloging and finding. And so these things are steps, but they're also steps that many of them are more taxpayer dollars. It's more kind of Band-Aids on the issue, as opposed to fully shifting the cost, you know, back to the industry.
Is that what the environmental groups want? That the companies that are responsible for the emissions just pay for all of it?
That is definitely the stance of the environmental groups.
Yeah. All right. So just finally, before we go, you said this at the beginning, like this is a very potent greenhouse gas. What are the stakes here? I mean, how much of an impact on the climate could this have?
So we're still learning a lot about, you know, how much these things are emitting, how many of these things are emitting, but it's substantial. You know, we have more than 2 million unplugged oil and gas wells around the country, and many of them are leaking methane, other hydrocarbons. You know, one of the wells that we wrote about in the story was leaking 500,000 parts per million of methane. That's 10 times the level that if I had lit a match when I was there, the whole thing would have exploded. And so there can be many of those around the country. So the problem is it's not fully understood, but what we do understand is that it's massive.
ProPublica reporter Mark Olalde will link you to his reporting on abandoned oil and gas wells at hereandnow.org. Mark, thank you.
Thanks for having me.